This is Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. This is the Minnesota Beer Cast. I'm Drew. That's my co-host, Schmitty.
Hey, hey.
Back from a week off, I am. How'd it go last week?
I don't know. Did you listen to the show?
Yes. Of course I did. No, I was in Kuwait. I didn't listen to the show.
it was fun. We kind of broke format. You know, usually we have a guest on who's got a new beer or an event or something going on, and we decided to skip that. So we had three, I guess, media personalities on last week. So just talk about kind of their take on beverage in Minnesota.
See, now I don't have to listen.
I'll see. Well, I'm not going to run it all down. You should go listen to the show if you haven't yet.
I'm sure it was fantastic.
It was fun. It was definitely a good time.
I'm glad to be back.
I think the one of the funnest things we related to last week's show was Jerry Fagerberg from City Pages. He's got a 40 top beers list out today. I think it just came out actually yesterday, maybe.
Yeah, and, I saw that.
Oh yeah, he says. And I think
well,
that's the reaction.
I made a bit of a disparaging comment on Facebook about it.
Yeah, what was your comment?
Not Jared. I mean, Jared's awesome. It's nothing against him. It's just it's lists. You know, it's like, how do you rank something so subjective?
I don't know. People do that all the time.
I know. People do it all the time. Yeah. I mean, it's every time I make a disparaging comment.
So I think he's got a booth at their City Pages Beer Fest this week, and I believe you can purchase rotten fruit to throw at him if you disagree with the list. So go check that out. Go read the list. It's certainly not the way I would have ranked them, but
that's the thing about lists. I don't think anybody, if you took 100 people and you asked them their favorite 40 beers, it'd be 100 different lists.
The my number one beer is the one that's in my hand. So that's the way I rank them.
It's not a bad way to rank it.
let's get a couple of plugs out of the way. First off, I think we're just about out of time for the trip to Germany.
Yeah.
So if you're still thinking about doing that,
extended it a bit.
You need to pull the trigger on that now if you're interested.
Yeah, it's almost full, I think. I know we've got a lot of people in the last few weeks that have signed up, and Michael over at Defined Destinations, which is an amazing company, was kind enough to extend the deadline a little further for us, so we could try to squeeze a few people in there. So if you thinking about it and you want to join us in Oktoberfest in Munich, and not just that, but a ton of other amazing activities while we're over there for 5 days or 6 days, you need to go to BeerCastTrip.com or MinnesotaBeerCast.com. You can find the links on both of those pages and pull the trigger, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fantastic event. If you're on the fence, go check out the website and see if it's for you, because it's time is running out.
Would make it an amazing gift for maybe, like, I don't know, your favorite employee of the year or something like that. You know, if you're a generous boss,
man, more generous than my boss, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's.
Wait, your boss listens, so
right.
You better.
That's why I'm on my best.
Take
behavior.
That back.
No, if my boss is listening, buy me a trip to Germany or anywhere else for that matter. Just get
oh,
me.
You'll get a trip.
let's get into the show, shall we? Let's introduce our guests. We've got Juno from Arbeiter, and we've got Mark Opdahl, friend of the show, is here representing St. Paul Summer Beer Fest, and we've got John from Northern Lights Wrestling. How you doing, guys?
What up, what up?
Doing well.
Right on. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Where should we start? Should we talk about, let's preview St. Paul Summer Beer Fest. Let's start
it's
there.
It's coming up next week.
Next week, we'll be there.
Yeah, we're super excited.
It's going to be a fantastic event, as always. One of my favorite events of the entire year.
It's a really fun event. It's a great way, summer's here, right? And it's time to get outside and really enjoy it. And no better way than the St. Paul Summer Beer Fest.
Well, we got the perfect venue for it. You know, most people end their summer at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds going to the State Fair. So why not start your summer at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds going to the St. Paul Summer Beer Fest? It's year 11. We've made a couple fun changes this year. A lot of great breweries, a couple new ones, but a bunch of new food trucks. We've added wrestling, which is why we've got John here tonight. We're going to have pro wrestling, which is new for our beer fest anyway. We're excited, though. I mean, it's meant to be fun, right? It's summer beer fest. It's got to be a bunch of yard games, a bunch of great beer, a bunch of good food trucks, and now wrestling. So Should be another fun year.
And we're gonna do a giveaway too with the show today. So if you're interested in going to the St. Paul Summer Beer Fest, and I don't know why you wouldn't, we're gonna give away a couple of tickets. So look for us on Instagram and tag who you'd take with you, and we're gonna give away a couple of tickets. So I'll put up a picture of us doing the show here, and go ahead and find that picture and tag yourself and a friend in the comments section, and we'll announce the winners sometime in the next couple of days. So it should be fun. It's going to be a great event. What's new on the docket for breweries that you guys have booked up? I'll put you on the spot and make you pull up the list and take a look at it, Mark. I know.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, fortunately, it's a great time to have new breweries coming in. I mean, and every year there's, what, another new dozen, 20 breweries opening up. So it's fun to be able to rotate some in and out. One that, off the top of my head, that we're having is from my hometown up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, Half Brothers Brewing Company. Anybody who's heard of Rhombus Guys Pizza, they make some decent beer, pretty good beer. And the head brewer there left and started his own brewery. So this is going to be their new brewery. We also have, what, Island City is a new one here in Minnesota. What, Garfish is another one.
Yep.
You kind of put me on the spot other than that, but yeah, we've got a good hand, you know, at least a dozen new breweries, which like I said, that's always fun for everybody to try new beer.
Yeah, I love the opportunity to try some of these new breweries. You know, there's even a handful that are not too far from where I live, just a stone's throw away, that I haven't had a chance to go try yet. You know, it's as a person who really loves craft beer, I just don't love driving all over creation to go try new, fun, interesting local beer. You know, local, I guess, is an ambiguous term, but you know, depending on your definition, local could be a half an hour away, or local could be Minnesota,
right?
And I'm not interested in driving to the other side of the cities even most of the time to go try beer when there's a lot of great beer I can grab at the liquor store or at the bar or just a couple blocks away.
Yeah. Well, and more so too, a chance to go and try all the beers that you've loved for all these past, you know, decades that you've been drinking craft beer. I mean, there's a lot of beer out there these days, so there's only so many hours in the day. There's only so many beers you can drink. So there's a lot of your old favorites that you kind of forget about when you're caught up trying all these new breweries and all their new beer.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've got, you know, some of the fantastic old favorites. You know, you've got your Brooklyn, you've got your Deschutes, you know, two of my favorite breweries when you talk about your standards.
Absolutely.
You know, those are two that I always, when I'm out and about, look for. Those are breweries that I know are going to make a product you can rely on. You know, you're not going to get something that's substandard. I don't think I've ever had a beer that I've been disappointed in from either of those two breweries.
I can echo that comment for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and then the people like Forager, you know, they're going to be up here too. So for all the beer nerds that are searching for those, you know, specialty beers and the things that you got to travel outside of town to go get, you know, Forage will be here, Junkyard will be there, you know, some of those kind of more sought after stuff will be here too.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about wrestling here in a couple minutes when we come back from the next segment, but I want to talk a little about the food trucks. We've got Nate Dogs is going to be there.
Always, awesome. Yep.
Awesome dude. Not only does he have awesome food, but just an all-around great guy.
One of the best.
If you want to have a hot dog, that's where you want to head to. You've got Todd Boss is going to be doing food.
Yep.
And Habanero Tacos Grill. I am a taco fanatic.
As am I.
I am looking forward to trying some of the Habanero Tacos Grill.
Yeah, there'll be KCM Egg Rolls as well is going to be out there, which I think will be great. Another vegetarian option, which will be great.
I mean, if that's the way you want to go.
Well, you know, you want to be versatile and appeal to everybody, buddy. That's why we've got new breweries, old breweries, hard to find breweries.
I'm just giving you.
I know.
National local breweries. Right?
That's your job. My job is to give vegetarians a hard time because I'm a taco and bacon fanatic. So
that's fair. Send you a picture of the brisket from this weekend.
See, yeah. There you go.
Put some bacon and brisket in a taco.
That's see. We're doing market research for Habanero Tacos Grill right here on the show. let's continue our research over the break, and we'll come back after this and talk some Northern Lights wrestling. Are you listening to the Minnesota Beercast on 1130 and 103.5 FM?
It's Google.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. More a solo, but tonight, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
Welcome back. Segment 2 of this week's edition of the Minnesota Beercast, previewing St. Paul Summer Beer Fest. and all of the exciting things that are going on out there. I'm excited to hear you're adding wrestling. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, John reached out to me a couple months ago and with the idea of bringing wrestling to the Beer Fest, and I was game on immediately.
I mean, make a little confession here.
Yeah,
I've long harbored a secret dream, not to be a wrestler, to be a ring announcer.
Oh, well, you know, they might need
a ring announcer.
They might need one.
Maybe if a special guest ring announcer spot opens up during the St. Paul Summer Beer Fest card, you know where to find me.
How much are you charging, Drew?
Wait, hold on. I'm charging?
Done. I like that. Whoa, I
wasn't prepared for that. I'm a terrible negotiator.
You know what? You guys heard it here first. Drew, you're our special ring announcer. We need a ring announcer that afternoon.
And an absolute professional at that.
Hey, even better. Hey,
that's what I do.
Just think that I didn't say you always wanted to be a ring valet.
This voice right here, that's the moneymaker. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Drew, you're welcome.
Except when I'm doing ring announcing, apparently.
Hey, that's all right.
You got to work. Well, you got a week to work on it.
That's right.
It's going to be awesome. Let's talk about your business. Tell us if I've never been exposed to independent wrestling. Tell us about what it is you do and what can we expect when we walk into St. Paul Summer Beer Fest and see a wrestling ring.
You know, if you've never seen. Most people, when they hear professional wrestling, they hear about, all they can think of is WWE or back in the day, WCW, now AEW. But you got to understand that the guys start somewhere.
Yeah.
They don't just walk into the door and tell Vince McMahon or Cody Rhodes or Tony Khan, whoever, Ted Turner, that I want to be a professional wrestler. Because they're going to look at you and call security, and they're going to get drug out. So you still have to. They have to start somewhere.
So you're saying you're like the St. Paul Saints of the wrestling world.
Independent wrestling is kind of like that. Yeah, we are the minor leagues. I mean, but
it's where folks cut their teeth and learn how to work, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, the folks that watch that follow independent wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. They love for it. I mean, think about it. Kevin Owens started in Ring of Honor. You know, even before that, he was started with another group up in Canada. Same with Sami Zayn, you know, El Generico, all that. Those guys all started in the small time. They honed their craft, and they became these big stars that you see every Monday and, you know, on Tuesday nights. We have Minnesota is... basically the home of professional wrestling.
Yeah, there's a real rich history of wrestling here in Minnesota with, you know, Ferdinand Gagne and AWA, and there's just a huge, huge long history of professional wrestling here from Jesse Ventura.
Ric Flair's from here.
Ric Flair was from here, you know, Rick X-Pac. Rude. X-Pac.
Yeah.
All those guys, a lot of those guys like Ravishing Rick Rude, Larry the Axe Henning, Kurt Henning, they all went to high school just north on Highway 100.
Robbinsdale.
At Robbinsdale High School.
How'd you like to grow up with those dudes? You think they slammed some guys into lockers?
I just want to be their friend.
Right? Yeah.
You want to put me in the locker.
And I'll be honest, for you guys that want to know more about like the roots of professional wrestling here, if I may.
Yeah.
Just up the road in Robbinsdale, there's a place called the Minnesota Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. It is phenomenal. If you look it up on Facebook or, you know, just search it in Google, it has so much of the rich history of Minnesota professional wrestling, and you'll just be blown away and completely captivated.
So how did you get your start in professional wrestling? Were you a wrestler at one point in time? How did you?
I still am a wrestler.
All right.
39 years old, I'm still a wrestler. I do it more for the fun. I love this business. I started way back, not even here in Minnesota. My brothers worked on ring crew for an independent promotion in Tacoma, Washington.
And that's kind of how a lot of guys get their start, right? If you, from what I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm even less educated on wrestling than most things, but you kind of, that's one of the places where if you want to build your way up through a company, like if you're in a restaurant, you start washing dishes. If you start in a wrestling company, you start on the ring crew, right?
Well, it's also called paying your dues.
Right, earning your stripes.
Yep. There's, you know, you can go through a school. You mm-hmm. can go through a training academy. Minnesota's got a great training academy up in Brooklyn Park.
Mm-hmm.
The pro wrestling academy up there, run by Ken Kennedy or Ken Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
It's, but those guys, I mean, but even then, those kids are taught exactly the right way to do it to get into wrestling. You know, you go, you help out with the ring. You know,
and is that what you did, or did you just start working?
I was only 5 or 6 years old in Washington,
so you probably weren't wrestling at that point.
I was more of like the promoter's halftime act, you know, running around and acting stupid and, you know, keeping the crowd entertained.
I thought you were like 18 out of high school.
No.
Driving the truck, trying to stay up all night, going from town to town.
Did you go to like a wrestling school?
He's only six. I want to know how he goes from being the halftime act to where he's at now.
When I started here, when I got here to Minnesota, I didn't even know that there was indie wrestling here. I really didn't. I followed the AWA, WWE, NWA at the time before they became WCW. So I watched all that.
Mm-hmm.
And just by chance, I was riding my bike from a buddy's house in Crystal, right down Douglas, right by the Crystal Community Center, and I saw professional wrestling here Saturday night, and I'm like, all right. Went home, talked to the old man, said, hey, I need $10. Showed up early. The promoter looked at me, and he goes, you want to give me a hand? So right then and there, I started in 96, you know, helping the promoter put together his ring, and it just flourished. You know, I learned more about the backside of the wrestling industry through him than I ever thought possible. And I learned a lot, and I owe a lot to him. We call him he's one half of the trainer of champions, you know, Terry Fox. 2001, I went to a camp and started training. Had a falling out, and then just continued to work out with Terry and his company here in the Twin Cities. And it wasn't probably until 2007-ish
mm-hmm.
that I started Northern Lights Wrestling with two other gentlemen, a very good friend of mine, Buddha, and another friend of ours, Ian Xavier. The three of us started Northern Lights Wrestling, and hopefully, you know, I can continue to do him proud.
One of the things I always wonder about when it comes to wrestling is the ring. How do you get your hands on a professional wrestling ring? And, you know, you talked about being on the ring crew and putting the ring together, because obviously it gets broken down and put back together when you go from town to town. But how are these things made? Is it created in your garage? Is there a professional construction company that makes a ring? How is it done?
If you look at, like, videos, you know, like the Young Bucks or the Hardys and stuff like that, they mm-hmm. had their little ring, you know, made out of tires and canvas and boards. You know, that's for folks that just want to have a good time, you know, play around in their backyard. But now there's so many different companies out there that mm-hmm. make professional wrestling rings. You know, Monster Rings, High Spots. I mean,
I don't know what that means.
There's been a real, like, resurgence in, well, maybe not a resurgence, but it seems to me from sort of a fan, but still sort of an outsider perspective, that the independent companies are doing much better, and there's a lot more opportunities for fans and for wrestlers in the past 6-7 years than mm-hmm. there had been probably since the 80s.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's,
what do you attribute that to? I mean, why is it making a comeback the way that it has, do you think?
A lot of that can be contributed to, you know, Ring of Honor, those yeah. guys. And not to mention, just folks are generally tired of WWE.
Yeah.
They're tired of the product that goes out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think part of it's just the accessibility through the internet and social media and stuff like that too? People are able to follow along better?
Oh yeah. The internet has blown up. I mean, in a way it's helped bring people to professional wrestling, and at the same time, it's also killed it quite a bit, you know?
Sure.
In what way do you think it's killed it? Is it kind of the taking away the mystery of kayfabe, you think? The fact that you've got
yeah.
people talking about their, you know, real life stories when they're not character.
Because I want to follow up on that, because I've got some thoughts on that as well. But we're up against a break. We'll talk more. The Minnesota Beer Cast turning into the Minnesota Wrestling Cast for a couple segments. And I am all about it. So we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Third segment of this week's edition of the Minnesota Beer Cast. Quick reminder, not only are we still looking for some people for our trip to Germany, got some spots available. That deadline is running out. Go to beercasttrip.com. Get the iHeartRadio app as well, and make sure you subscribe, follow the Minnesota Beer Cast channel on there. It's its own dedicated channel. You get notifications when new episodes are uploaded. It's the best way to stay on top of the show. Stay in touch with us as well through Facebook, MinnesotaBeerCast.com. Follow us on Twitter, MN_BeerCast, and all that.
So we've been having a good old time. We're just kind of previewing the 11th annual St. Paul Summer Beer Fest, taking place Saturday, June 8th from 1 to 5. It's going to be a fantastic time. Go grab your tickets.
Yeah.
But wait till Saturday if you want to try your luck. Go ahead and tag yourself and a friend on Instagram, or you can always grab them before and give your tickets away to a friend.
Yeah, do that. Do all of those things.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Follow us on Instagram, the Minnesota Beer Cast on Instagram, and make sure to type a comment in the photo there. Tag somebody. Tell us what your favorite summer beer is while you're at it.
There you go.
Yeah, I like it.
We got some summer
top
beers.
40.
give us your top 40. And then Drew can crap all over it, because that's what he does. He hates your list.
I probably do.
We've actually got some summer beers here. We're drinking quite a few. Should we talk about the summer beers before we do wrestling?
We left off in the middle of a conversation, so let's circle back. You were talking about how the internet has, you know, both helped and hurt, how social media has both helped and hurt professional wrestling, and the idea of breaking kayfabe. And for some folks that might not know what that term means, kayfabe is what, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but John from Northern Lights Wrestling, kayfabe is kind of the term that the people in the business would use to describe to refer to how they're sort of working the crowd. They're telling a story, they're playing characters, they're performing, you know, an amazing, athletic, impressive performance, but they're trying not to hurt each other while giving the appearance of actually doing massive amounts of life-ending damage.
Well, seeing that right there, I mean, just that, the description that you gave, that right there is kind of a key example as to how the internet has hurt this business, has hurt the business. It's a lot of people, when you come into wrestling, the first thing that you're always told is you sit down, you shut up, you keep your mouth closed and your ears open so you can learn. And with kayfabe, that was to protect the business. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you don't go to a magician and say, hey,
yeah,
how do you do this?
Show me how you do all your tricks.
With wrestling, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to make it. You know, we have our own set of rules that we try to protect. Unfortunately, you know, the internet days and great. Yeah, I mean, it's great to kind of, you know, get the inside scoop and find out what's going on. Or, you know, but then again, it can also be kind of, you know, annoying at times.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see why it would be frustrating for those in the business. From a just my own personal fan perspective, it's in some respects, I think it gives fans even a deeper appreciation, because we have a sense of how difficult it is to do what you guys do. And it's, you know, the it's impressive, the athleticism, the ability to, you know, get me to buy into the performance, the match, and wince and go, ooh, ah, that looked really, you know, and follow along with all the action that's taking place. Yep. While at the same time knowing that you guys are going to, you know, hopefully, of course, safely walk to the back without any major injuries or anything. It's, I don't know. I mean, for me, it almost, you know, as I grew up a wrestling fan all the way back from living in Miami and going to see Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair in the NWA and that Florida territory, and when WWF would come to town, I never missed a show. And then as I sort of grew up and learned more about the business, I appreciate it more and in different ways than I did as just, you know, the wide-eyed kid, mm-hmm. you know, who thought Roddy Piper was the most evil person walking the face of the earth.
Yep, exactly. I mean, if you thought about it, you know, back in, like, 92, let's just say WWF had a house show here in the Twin Cities. It was actually 93, I'm sorry, where Shawn Michaels lost the Intercontinental title to Marty Jannetty, and it was done at a house show.
So it didn't count, right?
Oh, no, I mean, he's still, you know, but back then, those things always happened. You never right. knew until they showed up on TV and somebody else had the title.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, well, wait a minute, how'd that happen? So they had to recap it. I mean, it's just, you know, some people just want to play, they want to get in there, they want to play wrestler, and they figure the internet's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys talked about a point earlier where wrestling kind of blew up here in the Twin Cities. There's so many guys that are coming out of the academy right now that are huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys are going to be big stars. There's a gentleman by the name of Airwolf. Phenomenal kid.
Mm-hmm.
Great talent. Trained by some of the greatest. You know, Sean Daivari, Aria Daivari, Ken Kennedy, Eric Cannon. This kid is going places. And it's cool because he's right here from the Twin Cities.
So is he going to, you think that there's going to be people like that staying in the Twin Cities? Is it going to be like local beer? Are we going to have local wrestling? Is it going to be a situation where we have independents staying local, staying regional? Or are they going to be controlled by big companies, by your AEWs, by your WWEs? Is it going
to... Your macro wrestling.
Your macro wrestling is what I'm asking. Your
AB InBev of wrestling.
This is me tying it all in together.
I mean, there's always going to be independent wrestling. No matter what happens, there's always going to be independent wrestling companies that are going to be here. They're going to give you exactly what you want every Saturday night or every Friday night, which is a phenomenal show and a great time for your money. And that's kind of the same deal that I, like I said, when I talked to Mark, was professional wrestling and beer, they go together. You know?
Right.
This is like, you can't take two of them, you can't separate them.
Can we get a little bit of a preview of what we might see at the St. Paul Summer Beer Fest for a wrestling match? And we've obviously got Drew is going to do the announcing.
Yep.
Are we going to see a hardcore match? We're going to see.
I think there's a belt on the line, isn't there?
Yeah, we actually.
There's a belt on the line. We got a championship match.
Yeah. I've got 5 matches scheduled. One of them is going to. Since we took some time off, I wanted to take the stress off. It doesn't really make sense to have multiple titles in the company.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I have our Northern Lights Wrestling champion, Spider Baby Tommy Saturday, defending against the Midwest champion, Rock Solid Ross, out of Fargo.
Drew, how would you announce that match?
Oh, man, don't put me on
Spider Baby.
We'll talk on Saturday.
Rock Solid Ross versus
Rock
Spider
Solid
Baby.
Ross.
I got my money on the North Dakota guy. He's going to upset, take the belt.
Rock Solid Ross
Rock
versus
Solid Ross. I got to warm up, man. I'm not ready for that.
And I haven't seen it yet. I'm still waiting to hear. However, we do have a gentleman that's the member of the book club by the name of Leonard Literacy.
Oh, boy.
He's... Basically, he's pledged to turn Beer Fest into Book Fest.
Oh, this is no good.
Yeah, that sounds.
He's going to take on.
That sounds like a straight up heel, man.
He needs to be stopped.
He's going to turn. He's taking on Mr. Entertainment, Ty Cooper.
Ty Cooper is our hero.
Mr. Entertainment, let's go.
Just outside, we also have the Outlaw Saints in action. Cowboy Dave Bell and Christopher St. Michael.
Little tag team.
Little tag team action.
Australian rules tag team.
Well, good thing you brought up Australian.
Does that mean the ring is upside down? What is Australia?
Oh, no.
It flows to the left.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It flushes the other way. And in our main event, we actually have King Leodonis taking on the Native Warrior Tejas.
All right.
So, in all, we've got 5 action-packed matches. I did forget one. We do have Lucha Libre's own El Tigre taking on Maru. So
that's more of your high flying action.
That's
going to
be more of your high flying
and masks.
That's
involved.
The first match too, right?
That is the opening
match.
We're
going to kick it off with some high flying action. It's going to be a good time.
Yep. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Heck yeah. I love me some wrestling.
Yeah, man. And independent wrestling is so much fun, man. I used to take my son to matches all the time until he got too old to hang out with his dad.
No, Dad. Yeah. Let me sit over here. Act like I don't know you.
It's so much fun because the crowd is so into it, and the crowd is half the fun at a wrestling show, right?
Yep, exactly.
You know, when you get a good hot crowd that's into everything that's going on, it's a blast, man. This is going to be so much fun.
And the locals totally know. I mean, they follow their independent wrestling, because Juno and I, we ran into a guy just the other night at a promo we were doing. He's just pumped that Spider Baby's going to be wrestling.
I mean, who isn't and pumped that Spider Baby's going to be there?
Well, I mean, Rock Solid.
Rock Solid Ross.
Yeah, Rock Solid Ross.
And the belt is on the line.
Yeah.
The title is on the line.
It's going to be huge. Now, can we say Tyler, or can we say belt, or do we have to say title? The championship?
I'm not Vince. I don't care.
All right. I wasn't sure if after the show we're getting notes from VKM on the post-show notes.
No, there will be no cease and desist.
All right. Good. Okay. Good to know.
All right. We got one more segment. We're going to talk some more summer beers, maybe throw a few more wrestling questions out there as well. So don't miss it. Stick around. This is the Minnesota Beercast, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Ring announcers get entrance music?
No.
Damn. Final segment of this week's edition of the Minnesota Beercast. We're going to change that. Shifting the paradigm.
If you're not even going to get paid, I think you should get some announcing, some entrance music.
Exactly.
Something better than this, though. I'm going back to
Cali. I'm going to just pretend. I'm going to ignore that comment. Pretend you didn't even say that. I don't think so. All right, we're talking summer beers. St. Paul Summer Beer Fest, Northern Lights Wrestling. You said Northern Lights Wrestling's been around since, what, 2007, 2008? Somewhere
2007.
In there? 2007. Where are your matches or your shows usually held for folks that might want to check it out?
Right now, we're doing our summer, kind of our summer schedule right now. I'm working on some deals to get us monthly shows, bi-monthly events up in the northern part of the Twin Cities.
Okay.
We started in St. Paul, and our next event after the beer festival is the St. Paul Park Heritage Days Festival, which will be August 18th at 1 p.m. or 2 p.m., I'm sorry.
Okay.
Right there in the middle of the street in front of the American Legion.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the wrestling. I'm also looking forward to some fantastic beers at St. Paul Summer Beer Fest. And one of those was going to be a fantastic collaboration. We've kind of waited until the fourth segment to talk about it. But Juno, who is one of the gentlemen in charge of the forthcoming Arbiter Brewery, is going to collaboration with Blackstack. Tell us all about this beer, Juno.
Yeah, well, we thought... let's team up with the boys over at Blackstack. They do a great job of representing St. Paul beer. And so we had our head brewer, Aaron Herman, go down and meet up with Bob and Murph and the team over there. And so what you're going to see on Saturday next week is you're going to meet a nice mashup between a Hefe and a Hazy IPA. So basically you kind of think about it as a malt bill similar to their local 755. And but using some Hefe yeast for that. So
I've never had their 755. How I guess is that your typical hazy, or is it something a little more than typical?
Well, I'd say that's your typical hazy, and for sure this one's going to be the collaboration beer, though, is going to be a little bit different. Obviously, using a Hefe yeast is going to change it quite a bit, bring out a little bit more of that banana runt like canny quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guys decided to use some Azaka hops and kind of a brand new German hop called Kalista, which is a nice throwback to our German name for the brewery. So should be, you know, the reports today from Aaron and the guys over at Blackstack that it's just tasting great, and we can't wait to show people.
Fantastic. It sounds like a lot of fun. How are things coming along with Arbiter? For folks who have been following, I'm sure they're anxious for updates. You guys have been in planning and under construction for a little bit.
Yeah, well, great news for us. You know, we were obviously spending some time to raise up some money, but it's on like Donkey Kong. We've got construction happening right now. We've hired our contractor. We've purchased put the down payment on our equipment about 6 weeks ago. So, a lot of decision making right now in terms of deciding All right, what type of glassware? What's our back bar going to look like? How are we going to display our beers? So all the good decisions that you want to make when you're starting a brewery.
The fun decisions.
Yes,
You're to the part that where you get to make all the fun decisions.
Yeah, versus, you know, paying rent or eating. So, but things are really happening over there. We've got a great neighborhood in the Longfellow area. And, you know, besides this collaboration that we're doing for the St. Paul Summer Beer Fest, we're going to do a collaboration with Venn Brewing for the upcoming Open Streets Lake and Minnehaha.
Very cool.
That's coming up July 21st. And we'll have a few more collaborations coming for a few additional beer fests until we open, which no promises, but we're targeting late fall for that.
So sometime early spring, what you're looking at?
Sounds about right.
2023.
Not to poke fun, I just always love when you talk opening dates with someone opening a brewery, because it never, I mean, maybe you'll be the exception, you know, maybe the guys that are biter will do it early, but it's just because it's so much regulation in opening a brewery, as I'm sure you know, I'm sure as everybody is aware, but when one thing happens, it just cascades.
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely for us, you know, we wanted to make sure we had enough money to get going and continue going. We didn't want to do any false starts with that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's you know, if you can have more time or money, because time is money, you know, make it happen. You got to make sure you plan for it.
Well, yeah, you only get one first impression, so you got to do it right. And you're in a great neighborhood to do that. Such a supportive community over there in the Longfellow neighborhood. I mean, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's really amazing, and we've got a lot of other craft beverage producers out there, like the Open Streets events that we're going to do. We're going to do a pop-up craft beverage garden with Dunord, Lawless, Venn, and Urban Forge Cidery and Winery.
Well, and even the local businesses in that area, too, with the bookstore, you got music venue, coffee shop, all that stuff, right?
Yeah, definitely. Midtown Farmers Market has just moved in right next door over at Moon Palace Books, which is an amazing independent bookstore, and their Geek Love Cafe has amazing sourdough pizza. But that's bringing all the crowds in, and it's just a great neighborhood over there. A lot of supportive people in the community.
Yeah, I know. I know some of the guys over at Community Hops just down the road, and there's some good people there. I know they're anxious to see Arbiter up and running too.
Definitely, so. Tom and Rick and all those guys. Yeah. We'll definitely be doing a collab with them later too.
Very cool. We do have some summer beers here. We've been sitting here sipping while we've been doing the show. Should we talk about it, Mark? We reached out to you as we were kind of planning the show. I'm like, hey, we're gonna have a couple minutes to kill.
Yeah.
At the end of the show, Mark. Why don't you bring some beers in and kind of go over your summer beer picks?
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight a couple of the beers that, you know, I'm looking forward to drinking. One, you know, to start out with, one of my favorite beers ever is just for summertime is Summit Summer Ale. I think it's often overlooked, you know, because Summit's been around forever, right? And so I feel like in general their brewery gets overlooked, and their Summer Ale is it's light, it's refreshing, but it's still beer. Well, yeah. Whereas a lot of summery beers kind of can tend to be a little bit on the fruity side or some of that. This is just it's just a light, refreshing beer.
Well, yeah, the other two beers you brought in are definitely
on the fruity side. Yep, absolutely. And I'm a huge component. If I go to a bar that doesn't have any craft beer, I don't need craft beer on tap for me to be able to find something great for summer. I'll just have them find their whatever light beers on tap, half and half with lemonade, little quick Radler, game on. You know, yeah. It's only 2.5%. You can have a bunch of those. So,
that's true. Stay hydrated, right?
But yeah, a couple of the fruit forward. Craft beers that I brought from Prize Brewing Company, their new Blonde Ale. They use some lemon and lime in there, and I don't know, it's just extra refreshing to me. It's a little bit more than just your standard Blonde Ale that can tend to be a little bit boring once in a while.
Yeah, you know, your basic Blonde Ale, you know, I always, when I think about a boring beer, I think about a brown, you know, but I would say that Blonde Ales can definitely be a bit, I don't want to say boring, but they're just maybe sometimes one-dimensional.
Totally. Yeah.
And this definitely is I wouldn't say one-dimensional. There's definitely an added aspect of flavor to this beer. It's not your typical Blonde Ale. I would totally agree with that.
Yeah, and then with the third beer, I stuck with Blonde Ales again, but I brought one that does taste nothing like a Blonde Ale. It's the Left Hand Brewing Company. It's their Flamingo Dreams. It's a, is it raspberry or blackberry? I think it's raspberry Blonde Ale.
Yeah, it's got raspberries and black currant in it.
Yeah, this beer is amazing.
It also doesn't look blonde at all.
No. It's deep, dark red. It's a very delicious beer, very fruit forward. Almost doesn't even taste like beer with that nitro.
Yeah, it's really amazing beer.
You can crush them for sure.
Yeah, we gotta have Joe Shea back on from Left Hand to talk about this beer when we get him back in the
studio. Well, the technology of the nitro cans. I mean, to me, that's bigger than the beer almost. I mean, as great a beer as Left Hand makes, the technology that they came up with to be able to nitro charge canned beer is pretty impressive. Yeah, pour hard, rock hard, rock solid.
I gotta remember, you know, we'll have to ask Joe when we have him on next, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, Left Hand had the technology and they chose not to patent it so that they wouldn't have to get the technology out there, because then people try to reverse engineer what they've done. So instead, they try to just keep that technology in house.
Yeah.
So nobody has the opportunity to try to reverse engineer what
kinda
they've
like
done.
Kind of like wrestling. Only the insiders know the story.
Right? The kayfabe of nitro beer. See, we
bring everything full circle.
Full circle, always. Absolutely. Maybe that can be your finisher, Drew.
What's that?
The full circle.
I'm a ring announcer. Oh. I don't have a finisher.
Yeah, but ring announcers have to have a move too, right? Yeah. They're part of the show.
I might find myself in a situation where I have to defend myself. You're right.
You've got ring announcers are people too, Drew.
That's right.
Can organizers of festivals jump in the ring and like DDT the ring announcer?
you can try.
Let me work on that. I got a week.
If you bring the bell with you, you might have a chance.
I like it.
All right. Thank you so much to NLW Northern Lights Wrestling. Thanks so much to Juno from Arbiter. And thank you, friend of the show, Mark Opdahl from St. Paul Summer Beer Fest. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Absolutely. We will catch you next week.
Back next week with a brand new episode. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Get your tickets now for the St. Paul Summer Beer Fest. Cheers.
See ya.
It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.